begins with not the Iker Inyan of Get, but a halacha takana. The Ran points out that we find often the Gemara that I did ask him a drasha chaviva lei. So this is not a drasha, it's a takana. But the fact that it's a takana de Rabbanan, it's something that is cherished by the Tana, and this becomes the opening of Mesech de Gittin. But as we'll see, learning this Mishnah is going to ultimately lead us to understand basic yesodos of Get itself, in Yin of Lishma, in Yin of Kim Shtaris, which is, of course, something which runs through the entire Mesechta. So the Mishnah begins with a number of details relating to the Takana of a Shliach Laholacha, as we'll see, who's bringing a Get. We know that when a person is going to divorce his wife with a get, so he can give it to her. The pasuk says, "V'nasan b'yada." Pasuk in Parshas Kisei, a couple of weeks ahead, we'll be reading it, and that's the din of nesinas haget. It has to be written a certain way. V'chasav l'asei v'kris v'nasan b'yada. But we also have drushes, gemara and kedushin. The second paragraph runs out that we can be mekadesh and we can be megaresh ayde shliach. There's a shliach that the man can make called a shliach l'holacha. There's a shliach that the isha can make, or a shliach kabbalah. If the shliach kabbalah receives a get, she's migureshes as if she received the get. If the shliach halacha is the one that the man made as a shliach, then she's not migureshes until the shliach deposits the get, either in her hands or the hands of her shliach. This Mishnah is referring to a din of a shliach halacha, as Rashi will tell us. And in certain situations, the shliach is required, based on this Takanos Chachamim, to make a declaration. Says the Mishnah, maybe get Mimedinas Hayam. He's coming with this get from a distant place. We'll see more specifically the nuances of the Lashon Mimedinas Hayam, meaning it's not Eretz Yisrael, it's somewhere outside Eretz Yisrael. And he's bringing this get to bring to the woman that she should become Megureshes. Sarech Sheyomar. The Shriach is required to say, to declare, Bifanai Nichtav, Bifanai Nachtam, that I witnessed the writing of the get, and I witnessed the signing of the get by the Eidim. The Eidim signed the get, and the Shliach attested the fact that he saw it. Exactly what is the basis of this halacha? Rashi tells us that the Gemara is going to explain it. We have to get ourselves already into a frame of reference to understand the issues here in the Mishnah. So we have in the Gemara, where it tells us, my taima, why suddenly do we have this halacha with a get that's being sent, Medina Sayyam, that the Shliach has to make this declaration? There's two reasons in the Gemara. Rabba and Rabba. Rabba's reason, v'ishein b'kirin l'shma. We're talking about a get coming Medinas Hayam, Chutz Laretz. People in Chutz Laretz are not aware of a basic core halacha relating to the Ksivas HaGet and the Chasimas HaGet, namely the din of l'shma. It has to be written l'shem, the Isha, l'shem Gerishin. L'shma is its own world of what the details of that halacha is, but the people in Chutz Laretz are not, they're ignorant of this halacha. And the Gemara is going to discuss, apparently there's a need for Ksiva Lishma and Chasima Lishma. That's why the declaration is on both. And therefore, this declaration is the Shliach who has to give us that information that we otherwise wouldn't know. The Pashit Pshat, Rashi's Mashba this way, it's that we are Choshesh. It's not that something could come up and the Baal will make the argument that it wasn't Lishma. We're Choshesh, that maybe the Get did not have this Kashua stamp of Lishma on it. It was not written or signed Lishma. And therefore, the Shliach has to tell us, in fact, that it was Bifanai Nichta, Bifanai Nechta. This is Rabba. Rabba, on the other hand, has a different explanation. Gemara brings from Rabba, V'she'en Eidim Mitzuyin L'Kaimo. That is to say, here we're talking about the Etzem. We look at this get, we wouldn't necessarily be worried that it's forged, that it's not genuine, that authentic. But what would be if the husband will come and make an argument, the Nima'arer on the get, and say that, nothing doing, I never wrote it, it's forged, the whole thing is a forgery. So then there'll be a big problem. Meanwhile, she has a get and she could have remarried, there'll be all kinds of issues. She won't be able to either remarry, or she remarried, she'll have to go out of the marriage that she went, there'll be all kinds of problems that the woman will have if the husband will lodge a complaint and challenge the authenticity of the get. And then what will we have to do if that happens? We'll have to get Eidim, that's called Kim Shtaris. We have to get Eidim that will attest to the fact that these signatures either are our signatures or we recognize them. That's the principle called Kiyum Shtaris, the sugis and ksubis in the second parak, the world of Kiyum Shtaris. So the problem is, if you have a get that's brought from here to there, from Chutz Laretz, from Medina Sayyam to Eretz Yisrael, suppose that Baal is going to come later and lodge this ewer against the get, And now you have to figure out, is this in fact a valid get? How are we going to counter the era of the Baal? So we need to find Eden. But the problem is that you're not going to find Eden in Eretz Yisrael who know about the signatures of a get in Chutz Laretz. So therefore, you need the Shliach to test the fact that B'fanei Nechtam. Now that explains B'fanei Nechtam. What's the purpose of B'fanei Nechtam? That's the Gemara Daf Gimel, because they had to add that, because otherwise, what would people think? That Kim Shtaris suffices with one aid. And you know, generally, Kim Shtaris is required, you need two aid to be Mekayim Ashtar. So therefore, Kadesh Shalom Esel Lechufei, and assume that Kim Shtaris can always be done with one. So therefore, they added something that now this shows that this is its own entity. It's a special din, b'fanei nechtam, that's the package. So therefore, according to Rava, that's the need for this takana for the shliach to preempt the era Baal, so they won't have problems later on if there are no edim etzun lekaimo available to mekaim it. Therefore, we have the shliach come and say this up front. Now, this takana is not just a takana that requires the shliach to say this, but bechlau this takana is obviously something else, that is a nemanus that's granted to the shliach, which is not so simple, because the shliach, after all, is only what? An aid echel. So who says that we could believe just because a shliach says that it was written in front of him and written, signed in front of him, who's to believe him? Maybe he should require two aid, and the Gemara is going to discuss this, so give Beis and Beis, give him Aleph. So the Gemara gives the answer that Mishamiguna kiel barabana. So the takana that we're reading about is not just a takana to require the shliach to say this, but it's a takana that also brings with it the nemanis that's being granted to an aid echa, to the shliach, that we believe him, and as a result, there won't be any issues later on based on the fact that the shliach has already declared as such. This is the basic halacha stated in the first line or so of Mishnah. But the Mishnah starts by saying it was brought in the Medinas Hayam. And we have the two reasons that we just explained, Rabbi and Rava, why there is a need for the Shliach to say this. Rabbi Gamliel Omer, he now argues on the Tanakhama and he extends this halacha to cities, as we'll see, that are smuchos to Eretz Yisrael, where the Tanakhama apparently would have held in the cases of Gamliel that would not be required to say B'fanei Nechtam, but Gamliel extends the Af HaMevi Min HaRekem U'min HaCheger. So this is the sugya of Dalit that I had you look at. Rekem and Cheger are cities that are right next to Eretz Yisrael. Pashtas, they're technically out of the border, but they're smuchos Eretz Yisrael. So we have a machlokas. According to the Tanakhama, Rekem and Cheger would not require b'fanei nechtam, as the Gemara explains, because, again, Rab and Rav, each one according to his line of reasoning. So according to the Spar of Rabba, the Tanakhama would say that the people in Rekem Cheger are Biki in Lishma, just like in Eretz Yisrael, you don't have to say B'fanei because there's no concern of Lishma. So Rekem Cheger is similar, and Rekem disagrees. He says, no, Rekem Cheger is a concern that in Biki in Lishma, according to Rav's reasoning. So the question is going to revolve around whether we assume that Eidim Yisrael came from Rekem Cheger. So that would be the machlokes regarding Rekem Cheger, namely Smuchos. Rabbi Eliezer goes further. Eliezer Omer afil mikfar ludim lelud. Now here you have another level. We had the case of Rekem Cheger are smuchos. The case of kfar ludim lelud is what's called muvlos. Again, it's sugya daf dalet. Muvlos means that the border kind of comes out a little bit and comes in, and so, or the other way, it goes in and out. So they're contained within the border, if you look above and below it, but technically it's on the other side of the line. Now, what makes this different? Because here, from the perspective of the respective reasonings of Rav and Rava, what should be the halacha, pargudim lelud? Should you require b'fanei? Is it b'kim l'shma? Yes. Is it mitzvah l'kaimo? Yes. So what's the issue here? So both the Tanakhama and Rabbi Gamliel would hold in this case that you would have to say b'fanei, right? What is Rabbi Eliezer's reasoning? Why does he say you still have to say it? Shelo tachok medinas hayam. We've called it lo plug. Once there was a takana made, so even though the reasoning, be it Rabbi's reason, would follow from that, they shouldn't have to say b'fanei, but lo tachok medinas hayam. And the first Tanaim don't agree with that. They hold no, that if in this case the reason doesn't apply, so there's no reason for the takana. Okay, So this is really, so far, three shitas stated in the Mishnah regarding this special takana of the Amira of the Shliach. So according to Tanakama, only Medina Sayam and not Smuchos and certainly not Mavlos. So Rekin Vecheger would not have to say, and certainly Kfaludim Lid would not have to say, but Gamliel is in the middle. He says Smuchos, he holds, do have a reason to say Bifanai. They're not Gemiri, so there is a problem with it. They're not learned. If we have to say Bifanai, or because of Shchichi, that there's a traffic, he says that there isn't traffic, so it is a problem of Eidim Mitzvah and Kaimo. And then you have Abwezer, who says that separate from that, Shiloh Tachl. Okay, this is Pashit, the first three shittas mentioned as far as how far we go in applying this Takana from Medina Sayam. What about Rekim Mechega? What about Kfar Ludim? Now, where does the Chachamim fit into all of this? They continue, and they say, "Enot sarich sheyom bevafanei nechta bevafanei nechta, ela hamevi mimedinas hayam vehamolech." So, the first thing to notice in the Chachamim is that where do they fit vis-a-vis what was previously stated in the Mishnah? What are they saying? Like the Tanakam, it's mimedinas hayam. In other words, to exclude, for example, Rekin Becheget, right? And certainly Kfarudim. So they would be on the side of the Tanakama, the Loki Rabbi Gamliel. But what they're also saying is Molech. Molech means coming the other direction, from Eretz Yisrael to Medina Sayam. So what's the Peshad as far as Molech is concerned, and how does this relate back to the Tanakama? So we have to go back and think about this Cheshbonus in the Gemara, Rabbah and Rabbah. Lefi Rabbah, what would be the Svara as far as Molech? Would you think you have to say or you don't have to say? According to Rava, the became Lishma, and Eretz Yisrael all know about Lishma. So then you'd have to assume that the reasoning for the Chachamim is that they make a Gzeira. In a Chanami, the Svar doesn't apply, but we have a Gzeira, Molecha to maybe, right? And the Tanakama wouldn't necessarily make that Gzeira. And if it's Machlokes about Molech, the reason doesn't apply, but maybe there's a Gzeira anyway. This is according to Rava, at least initially in the Gemara. And then you have, according to Rava, you'll have to say, in Svar, what would you say according to Rava? Molech, it'd be no different than Navy, right? Because traffic is not going in either direction from one to the other. So it comes out that there can't be a machokas about Molech, right? Because Rava doesn't want anyone to hold other than the way Rava holds, right? So therefore, the Gemara explains that really the Chachamim are not arguing. What are they doing? The Mefushi time of the Tanakh. It's not machokas. It's Pashit. Just dotting the, you know, dotting the I's and crossing these, just push it as we read on in the Mishnah, just to cheshbon out what the Gemara says on each one of the Mishnah. So this is a Chachamim. So again, Rabbah would hold that it's a machokis, gzer mocha to maybe, and Rabbah would say that it's not a machokis, it's just explaining because the logic would be the same molech or maybe. What would be if it's molech from Eretz Yisrael to Rekin Becheger? Or the same thing, right? If you hold Rekin Becheger to Eretz Yisrael, it'll be the same thing the other way around. That's Pashtus and Mashma that way in the round as well. Okay, continues the Mishnah. Ve'hamevi me'medina le'medina be'medina sayam. Until now we're talking about being mevi from Medina sayam to Eretz Yisrael or the other way around. Now we're talking within Medina sayam, me'medina le'medina. Says the Mishnah, tzarech she'yom be'fani nechta be'fani nechta. So the halacha is not just Medina sayam to Eretz Yisrael, but even within Medina Sayam, from one Medina to the other. And what's the reason? Again, obviously, according to Rabbah, because they're not Bikin Lishma, according to Rabbah, because there's no Eim Tzuin L'Kaimo from one Medina to the other. But now, what if I were to be Medayik here? It's Mashma, the Medina le Medina, the Medina Sayam. What would be if it were within the same Medina, Medina Sayam? So what would it sound like? That you don't have to. But that makes sense according to who? According to Rava, because within the same Medina, they are Mitzuyin L'Kaimo. So, but according to Rava, L'Chara, there should be no difference. I think Mark's going to say, that's one of the Nafkaminas on the base, right? That according to Rava, even the Osa Medina. So the Gemara is going to ask this question, the Gemara is going to explain those who saw the keys, that the deal of the Mishnah is not to tell me Osa Medina would be different, but to tell me vis-a-vis Eretz Yisrael. That Eretz Yisrael, Medina le Medina, would not require it. Again, even though it says it later, but the Gemara explains why you need to have it twice. So that would be the diuk to make, not the diuk of Osa Medina, but the diuk of Medina le Medina in Eretz Yisrael. Continues Mishnah, another Tana comes in and weighs in on this. Rav Shimon Gamliel Omer, Afilu mehegmonia lehegmonia. What do we have here? Two districts which have separate governments. Hegmonia is like a ruler, a government that has its own rules, and they don't allow traffic to traverse from where they are to the other side. Two different ruling authorities. And the Gemara is going to explain that this is true even in Eretz Yisrael. Interesting. Even in Eretz Yisrael, the Gemara brings a brisa like that. In Eretz Yisrael. So Shim Gamliel says that if the traffic does not go from one hegemon to the other, because they're very tight on the patrols, on the checkpoints, they're getting through, so then there's a need, even in Eretz Yisrael, to say Bifana. So what does this obviously show? That the reasoning for Bifana is based on? Based on Tzimu Kaimu. Because here in Ein Eidem Tzimu Kaimu. So it's because of this that the Gemara ends up saying something of revolution. The Gemara says, Enochanami, Rabba Islei de Rabba. Rabba, he also added the reason of Lishma, but he accepts the fact that there's a basis to require the Shkiach to say Bifanai because Enim Sunakaimo, as you see Mefurish in this Mishnah. Yeah, that's what you see in Shim Gamliel's statement. And again, because even in Eretz Yisrael, Bikin Lishma they are. And it's Mefurish in the Gemara that the case is even in Eretz Yisrael. What's not as clear is there machlokis about this case? I mean, Shim Gamliel certainly proves the point that we just said, that clearly there's got to be somebody here that holds like Rava, and Rava is the Rava. Is there a machlokas? Would the Tanakhama disagree on Hegmonia or Gmonia? And if so, why? So it could be there's no machlokas. It could be that in Hanami he's adding it, but there's no machlokas, just like the Gemara said by Molech, that the Lefrushi Taima, the Tanakhama. Unless you say that maybe the Tanakhama will hold that, even though there are these rules and there's checkpoints, but Lamaisa, people find ways to get from one side to the other. Ramban is Mesupik Kinnira, and a little later on in Daf Hey, I think, the question of whether there's a machlokis on Hegmonia or Hegmonia. So you have to know whether Tanakhama would disagree. Fundamentally, though, we see that the issue playing out here is that of Rav, which is Rav Isli the Rav. Okay, this is all one chiluk of the Mishnah. As far as when the Takana was said, in specific cases of going either Medina Sayyam or other places, Smuchos, Mavlos, to Eretz Yisrael, and then we have the other way around, Molech, and we have Medina Lamdina Be'eretz Yisrael, Medina Sayyam rather, and then we have Gemara Lamonia. Now we have Rav Yehuda. Rav Yehuda Omer. Now he's going to go through the various directions, three of the four, of Eretz Yisrael, and apply it in terms of the standards of when you have to say Bifana. Rav Yehuda Omer. Merekem l'mizrach, v'rekem k'mizrach. So he starts off with the east, and he mentions one of the cities that was already mentioned just before with Rabbi Gamliel. Rekem l'mizrach, and to the east is considered Medina Sayyam, and Rekem itself is also that way. So in that regard, you could put Rabbi Yehuda in the same boat, I don't say boat exactly, but the same, right, the same Meshita as who? Rabbi Gamliel, right? Because he also said Afmin Rekem. Rabbi Yehuda is going beyond that. So that's one thing you can take out of Rabbi Yehuda right away. But he says Rekem l'mizrach, the Rekem Kimizrach. So that Rekem point on the east side is considered already a place that you'd have to say Bifanai for Shiach who brings a get from there. And anything east of that is also that way. Me Ashkelon, now he goes to the south. Me Ashkelon Lidarum, the Ashkelon Kidarum. So he gives you that city Ashkelon on the south. And he says there and south is considered a place that you'd have to bring, if you'd have to say Bifanai, if you brought a get from there as a Shiach Halacha. And Ashkelon itself is also the same Halacha. Now he goes to the north, and he's Akko, and north of that is considered Medina Sayyam for this halacha. Needs to say Bifanai. Either you say it's like Medina Sayyam, or that's the point that you have to say Bifanai, and Akko itself is that way as well. Rabbi Meir disagrees on Akko. Rabbi Meir, oh, Akko carried yourself to Gittin. Specifically for Gittin, Rabbi Meir says that it has a dinner like Eretz Yisrael, that you don't have to say Bifanai. For other things, it would actually not be Eretz Yisrael, Avodim, and so on, but for the Gittin, it's going to be Eretz Yisrael. What does it mean in Rabbi Yehuda, Merekem leMizrach? Does that mean, like, so that's Merekem is one city, but like, you look at the Mizrach, you have what's north of that and south of that, so what does it mean, Merekem? Like, but what about anything, you know, is it a line? Do you make a line, or does it mean, what does it mean exactly? It's unclear in the Mishnah. How do you read it? How did you guys learn it? you think about it. But what does it mean exactly? Miracle is just one point. So either it means you have to draw Pashada a straight line, and everything, right, that's aligned with Rekem, right, is considered, and further out, further east is Chutz Laretz. And then it comes out Ashkelon, and it comes out also that way. So it's interesting. Those are no geography today, Eretz Yisrael. You have cities that are south of Ashkelon, like Be'er Sheva, right? That would be the din of Chutz Laretz. It's hard to know, hard to imagine. What would it mean? What?
The way Rebbe's describing it, you wouldn't even have any muvlos then. Like, it wouldn't exist that way. Because the point of muvlos is that the border is not a straight line. Mm-hmm. So it can't be that.
Right. So either maybe he wouldn't have that.
It could be that the line is, if you have a curve like this and the line is still here, so you can still have muvlos. But then.
Right.
If you have like a big curve.
Maybe. Yeah. What's the other way to learn? Maybe like this. Maybe Rekem Kemizrach. That's for sure. Everything you have until Rekem is Eretz Yisrael. After that, there are going to be places that are Chutz Laretz and be places that still might be Eretz Yisrael. So to Ashkelon. Let's talk about Ashkelon. South of Ashkelon, you have Be'er Sheva, let's say, right? So don't tell me Be'er Sheva is not like Eretz Yisrael. But the point is that north of Ashkelon is for sure what? Eretz Yisrael. So that's going to be a cutoff for Ashkelon. South of that, Yesh V'Yesh. So Rabbi Yehuda's point of reference is in terms of creating at least a line that you can define above the line, or, you know, one direction of the line, one side of the line, as for sure Eretz Yisrael. Maybe that's how you'll read it. Okay, this is a little bit unclear. Rabbi Yehuda clearly has identified Rekem as Chutz Laretz, which again aligns with Rabbi Gamliel before, but it's not clear exactly how that affects other cities, such as what would be, again, north or south of Rekem, or east or west of Ashkelon, and so on, and further back, further down, the Seder. Okay, let's conclude the Mishnah, the last section of the Mishnah. Until now, we're talking about Chutz Laretz Medinas Hayam. Zok the Mishnah, maybe get the Eretz Yisrael. Einu tzarach shiyom fanichta fanichta. Now, as opposed to what we had before from Medinas Hayam, where there's a din. Just focus, Rabbi Osei. Just focus on us, right? This is just okay. The Eretz Yisrael, einu tzarach shiyom fanichta. There's no need to say b'fanai. Why not? So again, the Rabbah. A rabbi, it's because there's no problem of lishma, because everyone knows lishma. According to Rava, it's because shchichi, because there is traffic, and therefore there are edim sinul kaim on Eretz Yisrael. I was going to explain the mesiftis and so on, and ole regalim and so on. Zok the Mishnah, however, one thing: v'im yesh alav oririn, if there'll be arguments against the get, challenging it, saying that it's mizuyif, yiskayim bechosma. Then there is a need to do kiyum. Without Oririn, fine. Everything is good. This is the Baram Tosis. She'll be able to remarry. There's no Taminan. There's nothing to be worried about. You're not Choshesh that it's Mizuyif. But if there'll be the Baal who come and say that it's Mizuyif, then what do you need to do? You need to do kiyum. Why kiyum? Is there not another thing? What else could you do? No, leave out Lishma. Let's say No. What do we have in the whole Mishnah? What did we say before? The Shriach says the Fanai. He can preempt. See, Lamashal. What if, let's step back a second. In Eretz Yisrael, there's no need to say the Fanai, right? There's no requirement. But the Gemara says in Davar, important idea, I'abdis ahanis. If the Shriach comes in Eretz Yisrael, brings a get, and says, I saw it written, I saw it signed, b'fani l'v'nechtan, what's the halacha? There'll be orerin, what will be? No need for kiyum. Why? Because b'fani works. Even though there was no need, there was no takana b'fani, but apparently you see in the Gemara, the Vav HaMaveis, that once it was a takana to give a nemanis, to extend nemanis to the shliach, to say b'fani in Medina Sayyam, that nemanis applies even in Eretz Yisrael. So if he would say b'fanai, it would work. So now my question is like this. So let's imagine he didn't say b'fanai. Now the Baal comes later, and he's ma'orah, he's ma'ara on the get. So the Mishnah says, what's the eight? So what do you do? It's kind of a chosma. No, why that? Why not? The fun. Wow, what? So now you're saying, they can trade the machokas. So Tosfos on that pay Dalit, and also later that pay, assumes, important idea, we're going to talk more about this maybe later or tomorrow. The funai nechta v'nechtam is only believed b'shas gerishin. If the shliach will come afterwards and attest and declare the funai, it won't work. Tosfos seems. Reason spirit made it. Daik, it's only b'shas nesina that it works. Maybe Tokidei Dibra, Sukkim Bosa Inyan, Tosfos and Mesupik, but come later on, a year later, a month later, the Baal comes and says it's Mezuyev, the Shliach comes forward and says Bifana, it won't work. It's only an Enemanis that extended to the Shliach Bishaz Gerish. This is Shita Satosis. Yes, Uriel.
Also, according to the Rashi, we're talking about the Baal being Ma'ar. The Baal being Ma'ar, he's going to be saying it's Mezuyev. He's not going to be saying it's...
No, in Achanami. But Fani Nechtam is saying it's not Mezuyev. In other words, if you believe the Shliach, the Baal is Ma'ar afterwards, what's the Halacha? Then he's not believed. You don't need Kiyum. Right? So I'm asking you, at the end of the Mishnah, and we showed you the narrative spell, you can also believe the Shliach. Yav the Sahanis. So then why is the Mishnah say that in Yesh Lovin is kind of a chosmav, let it be the Shliach? At that point, bring the Shliach. Now, if you want, so if you want, you can say Shliach is not around, Shliach didn't see it. Okay.
Thank you so much. Thank you.
According to Tosis, it's simple. According to Tosis, the Nemanus only applies B'Shas Gerishin. However, this is the Ran that I gave you. The Ran says, apparently in Rashi's Mashmat, that even after Shas Gerishin, the Shliach is also Nem. So then our question returns, in other words. So why does the Mishnah make it seem as if, in Eretz Yisrael, the only thing that can be done, if the Baal's Ma'arer, is Yiskayim B'Chosmav? Let the Shliach come and say the funa later. Okay, if he's only believed to say the funa b'shas nesinat b'shas gerishin, I understand. So you'll have to say perhaps why he's not around. He doesn't know. The Mishnah says he's kind of chosim. How come my askinan? The Shliach either is not available, he's not around, or he doesn't know. The din is he doesn't have to say the funa. I told you if he says the funa, he's believed. But who says that he actually checked it out? Who says that he has what to say b'fanei? The din is he doesn't have to say b'fanei. So Me'echa Teis said that he has that yediyah, that he has that information. And therefore, he's kind of a chos. But if you hold that Tosis, Peidalit, it's even better. Because he can't, even if he knew it, it wouldn't work afterwards. It's only going to work if he would say b'fanei b'shaz gerish, and then it works. B'chut starts, he has to say b'fanei, and he's believed. And Eretz Yisrael, he doesn't have to say b'fanei, but he'd be believed if he said it. But in a case where B'yishlov Oren at some later point, then the Shliach can come and save the day with the funa, then you need Eidim. Then you need his kind of chosko. Okay. So far, Pasha, we just Pasha teach the Mishnah. Just understand the main outline of the Mishnah, the main ideas. Now let's go a little bit deeper into the Rashi, and we'll go from there. Okay, questions so far? Anything to clarify? Dr. Rashi, number two, Yukim, we should make in the Rashi as we go along. A maybe get Medina Sayyam. Rashi defines for us Medina Sayyam. Kol chutz la'aretz, karile Medina Sayyam. All chutz la'aretz is called Medina Sayyam. Rashi goes on, Bar Mibaba, we'll soon talk about that in a second. Bar Mibaba, kidamin l'kaman. What does Rashi want here? What is Rashi trying to tell us? Kol chutz la'aretz, kar Medina Sayyam. At first glance, Rashi, not only is it unclear what Rashi wants, Rashi is difficult. We read the Mishnah, and we saw that there's clearly different shittas about when you have to say b'fanai, depending on where you're coming from. Rekin b'cheger, the Tanakhama would say, you don't have to say b'fanai. We are Rekin b'cheger. In Eretz Yisrael or out of Eretz Yisrael? So I guess we don't know for sure. Maybe you say it's in Eretz Yisrael, but it's far away from where people live. Well, whatever you say, Berak and Becheger, I'll ask you another question. Kfar Ludin. Is that an Eretz Yisrael? That's for sure not an Eretz Yisrael. That's clearly Medina. That's clearly Chutzlos, right? It's Mvlos. It's Chum Eretz Yisrael. It's clearly out of the board. So the Tanakhama, who says Tzorach Sheyomar, he argues on Kfar Ludin, he argues on Berak and Becheger. He holds that Fargudin, which is, as I said, for sure, Chutz Laretz, you don't have to say. So how could Rashi plug into Midin Sayam called Chutz Laretz? Again, reckon the Cheger, we can debate. Maybe you'll say that Reckon the Cheger is technically Eretz Yisrael, but it has a reason that you have to say it anyway. We'll see this more in the Tosas Ashton Kedarim, that it's shaykh to assume that maybe something is Eretz Yisrael in some respects, but it still has the halacha of the Mishnah because it's far away from the Yishuv, but they don't know Ishma, they aren't Edom Yisrael and Kaima, whatever it is. But you can't say Faragudim is clearly out of the board. And Rashi says, defining the Mishnah, Kol Chutz La'aretz Kol Medinas Hayam. So it's not so. For the Tanakama, Kfar Ludin would not have to say. And it's technically Chutz La'aretz. And Reckon Mecheger, but Pashto is also Chutz La'aretz. Umaisa Tosis, the second Tosis on the page, explains that the word Medinas Hayam has a specific connotation. The word Medinas Hayam is a way of saying something, a place which is far away from the border, meaning to say it's not smuchos and certainly not mavlos. It's an expression. You know, sayam means right the other side, way back, way away, far away. Ni medina sayam. And the reason why that lashon is used is bedafka because the Tanakama is arguing Rav Shimon Gamliel and says reckon becheger because it's smuchos. You don't have to say the funai. They argue me with the ishchichi. So then. That's good, then I can read the Mishnah very, very nicely. But Rashi says something different. This is the difficulty in this Rashi. It's different ways to try to work it out. The Ran and the Maramshiv both say something quite a little bit similar. What the Ran says is, Rashi means the following. Medinas Hayam, because Rashi is going to say later that the Mishnah goes on and there is the West that was not mentioned by Rabbi Yehuda. And that's because the West is the Mediterranean, that's the Yam HaGadol. So what Rashi would mean is the following. When you look at the West side, there's no smuchos. Because it's just the Yam. So Rashi would basically mean is that the Mishnah is saying Dinas Hayam la'afuke smuchos. So the Mishnah is saying Dinas Hayam because when you're Dinas Hayam on the west side, you know that anything you're going to have there is going to be not smuchos. But if it was smuchos, you would not require b'fana. And then Rashi might mean, and therefore go to any other direction and it's going to have to be similar in that way to the west side where there's no smuchos. That's what the Ran wants to say. Ram Shif, somewhat similar point. He says it this way. Kavanaso shalotema, he says it like this. Shalotema osu tzad shalmaravi shiyesh shayama godog vukar medin sayam vizema kochur tzad kohen dem. Rashi's point is the following, not the way Rashi's coming to define medin sayam. Rashi's saying don't limit medin sayam to the west side, which is what the literal meaning of Medina Sayam would mean. Rashi says, Kol Chutz La'aretz, it will be on the other sides as well. Of course, Smuchos not. But don't think it's only the west. Okay. Medina Sayam might make you think it's only coming from that direction where the Yam is. So Rashi wants you to know, Kol Chutz La'aretz, but not to make the diuk that anything that's technically out of Eretz Yisrael is required, because it's not true. Reckon Becheger and Kfar Ludim, you don't have to say with Kitana Kama. So they both try to fetch the Lashon Rashi somehow that it's Rashi should not be misleading to think that it means. But Rashi clearly did not learn the way that Tosas learns that. He didn't say, by definition, means a faraway place. But Rashi just wants you to understand that it's true about any direction. Now, Rashi says, Bar Mi Bavel, and that's the Sugya later. Now, in the parentheses that, of course, Rashi didn't have, because there was no Tzura Sadaf of Vilna back in Rashi's time, right? You should know that, right? So in any case, Rashi would just talk about Shili Pirkin or whatever. It was just the run-on. It wasn't the Tzura Sadaf that we have. It's more recent. But Umaisa, Devetzayin, Adav, Vav, Amid Aleph. So it's not as simple as it sounds, because the truth is there are two sugyas about Bavel. One is Adav, Vav, Amid Aleph, and one is Vav, Amid Aleph. Vav, Amid Aleph is discussing Bavel when you bring a get in Medina, Medina. Bavel. That's Gemara Rabin Shmuel of Machokas, the Medina, the Medina, and Bavel. Vavam Abeis is Rav Yasser, that means Misham Lakan, meaning from Bavel to Eretz Yisrael. Now, l'chora, what would Rashi have in mind? Rashi says, Bar Mibavel. That what? That Bavel is an exception, that Bavel would not require Mifanai, from where to where? Within Bavel or from Bavel to Eretz Yisrael? Partially, right, because it's a contrast to what we have in the Mishnah. Medina Sayyam to Eretz Yisrael, Kol Medina Kol Chutz L'Arts, Bar Mibavel. So then, Rashi's Kavana would be Bavel to Eretz Yisrael. So then, what was placed here by the printers, you have to put an extra dot, right? Not Bav with one dot, but Bav with two dots. Bav on the base. The emissaries, though, truth be told, this I wait for Davav for. If we learn well the Sugya Davav and the Yisod of what comes in a Davav Meralev, it could be that we could justify even the one dot, that Lamaisa, the issue, the Yisod of Davav Meralev is already enough for Rashi to say what he said, even though technically the Nafkamina would still come up as far above the territory as well, that you won't have to say. But Rashi is, can suffice with the Mitzayin, the Sugya of Bar Mibavel of Avmeralef. But for that, we have to wait to see Sugya Bavel, okay? So for now, just assume it doesn't, we're not beholden to the one dot of Avmeralef, so we can just say, good. But it could be we could say more than this. Sarach, next Rashi. Sarach HaShliach HaMeviyo Lomer. Rashi says, Sarach, so who's saying it? It's not the Baal. The Baal gives the get to the woman. There's no need to say the Fanai. But the Shliach HaMeviyo, to say, that's what she's putting in. Sarach HaShliach HaMeviyo, Lomar, and so on. The time of Farsh B'Gemara, as we had already spoken out, Rab and Rava. Rashi goes on. U'Shliach Zeh HaBaal Aso Shliach L'Holach. This Shliach that we're discussing is a Shliach that the Baal made to be Molech the get. That's called a Shliach L'Holach, which means that the Gerishin is only complete when the Shliach deposits the get by the woman in her hand or in the hand of her Shliach. But this Shliach of the Baal, the Shliach L'Holach, Rashi clearly is coming to imply something, right? What is Rashi coming to imply?
Kabbalah.
The Shliach HaKabbalah would not have to say B'Fanai. In other words, Shliach HaKabbalah means that what? That the woman already, or the woman's Megureshes, right? And Shliach HaKabbalah comes with the get, which now is evidence that the Gerishin was done already, because the get was given to him as the Shliach HaKabbalah V'Isha, so that's the equivalent of giving it to the Isha herself. And that Shliach HaKabbalah would not have to say B'Fanai. And Rashi would be trying to say that's only the Shliach HaLacha, not Shliach HaKabbalah. More about this, I'd like to wait till after we finished all the Rashi, so I have a lot to say about this Inyan, which will open up more the Inyan of Shliach, of Shliach B'Fanai, and just the Yisod of this Takana. But let's first finish all the Rashis, and we'll come back to this. This is something that Duran discusses that I gave you as well. Rekin v'cheger, Vayter in Rashi on the Mishnah. What is Rekin v'cheger? Targum shel ben kadosh ben bored, mitargumina ben rekam l'chagor, that's in Sefer Breishis. Afim mikfarudim shehi mechutz l'aretz, that's for sure. Interesting, I don't know if you want in the dike that maybe Rekin v'cheger or not, I don't know. Rashi only said it over here. Rekin v'cheger, we have to ask ourselves, is it Eretz Yisrael or is it Chutz L'Aretz? Gamliel says you have to say B'Fanai, but where is it located? That's not stated in Rashi. Rashi only spoke about Faludim Shim Chutz L'Aretz. L'Lud, She'is Mukhala, V'Him Eretz Yisrael. Baran Farsh Puk Tayana. Rashi says V'His Mukhala. Now, we discussed based on Dav Dalit. What is it about Faludim that distinguishes itself from anything before? It's Mukhala. So Rashi focuses on Smuchos. Smuchos we already had with Rekin v'cheger. That's a Dav Dalit. Rekin v'cheger have smuchos. And Kfarludim is Mublos. So what is Rashi saying? Smuchala?
Smucha to Kfarludim, not Eretz Yisrael.
No, but it is smucha. What is Eretz Yisrael? So it's smucha to a city of Eretz Yisrael. Rashi focuses on smuchos. The Gemara in Dav Dalit, right? That's the Gemara says, Amabai, Bayos has smuchos. So the answer is clear. With Lashna Gemara, Hasmuchos Smuchos is going on Rekin v'cheger. Umavlos is going on Faludim. But look in Rashi, maybe even on Dav Dalet. It seems that it's not that Umavlos is a whole new category. It's a more intense example of Umavlos. It's of Smuchos. Smuchos and Umavlos. Smuchos to what extent? That's also Umavla. That's what I think you have to say. Look at Rashi there. Look at Lashon Rashi and Adav Dali. But Amar Abaye, when Rashi, the Gemara quotes Abaye, who's explaining about these cities, Rekin, Cheger, Kvarudim, Zak Rashi as follows. Ayoros Halalu, Shosifu. Now, which cities are we referring to? Name them. Rekin, Cheger, Kvarudim. These cities that are mentioned by the two later Tanaim, after the Tanakhama. These cities, Smuchos Eret Yisrael, Hanach Rekin, Cheger, Rabbi Gamliel. Look at Rashi carefully. Vahanach de Rabbi Elazar, Havi Smuchos Tfei. You hear the Lashon of Rashi? Havi Smuchos Tfei, She'af Mavlos Him. So what's Meduik and Rashi? The Rashi here is very consistent. Now, without seeing Rashi Dav Dalet, I read just read the Gemara Dav Dalet, I read Rashi here. What's Rashi saying here? Smucha La, no, Smucha, that's Rekha Vecheger. And Kfarud, that's Mavlos. No. You see, Rashi, the point is, Mavlos is not its own category. Mavlos is even more samach. It's samach umuvla. There's smuchos, but not muvla, and then smuchos, which are muvla. So it's a greater smuchos. Okay, that's, I think, the Pasha B'Shan in the Rashi here, too. It's the Pasha to read the Rashi. So that's the Rashi over here. She's smuchala, that's what Farudim is. V'chachamim omrim, this is the Chacham stepping in and saying, Hamevi, the Medina Sayyam, and they also say Bahamolech. And it's right, so Rashi says that the Gemara Mefarish, my most Yatam Kama Deresh, again, as we spoke at either they're making Zer Mocha to Mevi, that's according to Rabbah, or they're just Mefarish, that everyone agrees that Molech would be the same. Bahamolech, there it's a Sel Medina Sayyam. The Egmonia, the Gemara Mefarish, Irachas, Shehayu Bashne Egmonim. Is two ruling authorities. So they're very strict about patrols and not letting people go from one to the other. Rab Yehuda Omer Merekem Lemizrach Merekem Ad Sofa Olam Lemizrach, all the way east and on to the east. Havi Medina Sayam Verekem Atzman Nidones Kim Mizrach Olam. Its status is Eretz is like Chutz Laretz, Velo Keret Yisrael. Rashi goes on, Rekem leMizracho shel Eretz Yisrael v'chutzala. This is in Rabbi Yehuda. So it's to the east and out, seen as outside. V'Ashkelon leDroma. Ashkelon is in the south. V'Akko leTzvona. Rashi continues, Avo, my Rav shel Eretz Yisrael ein tzarach gvul. The west doesn't need to be given a boundary. Shayom hagadol gvula. The boundary is the Yom HaGadol, and Rashi quotes Parshas Maaseh, Kilchsiv, Ugvul Yom Yochem Yom HaGadol Gvul. This Rashi needs to be explained a little bit, because we're going to see more about this whole Indian in the Tosis, the long Tosis, the Ashkelon Gedorah, but a little bit now, just to get our feet wet. The Maaseh are like this. When we talk about the requirement to say Befanai from these various places, there are a few dimensions, say Ashkelon, Akko, Rekem. So the requirement to say Befanai is because it's coming from a place that, according to Rabbah, is Lo Gemiri, right? Or according to Rabbah, it's Lo Shchichi. You know what these words mean? I said them a lot. Lo Gemiri means they don't know Lishma, so you have to have Befanai because of Lishma. Lo Shchichi, there's no traffic. What's going to come up in Tosis, in this long Tosis, is the following. That L'chaira, Ashkelon, Tosis writes away, starts off, Ashkelon is Eretz Yisrael. He took him in Yehoshua. It's Eretz Yisrael. So what's Rabbi Yehuda saying? They have to say the fun. So you're going to have in this Tosis Rabbeinu Tam and the Ri. Rabbeinu Tam is going to say, we have the following. We have the kibush of Oli Mitzrayim. That's who? Who's Oli Mitzrayim? Who led that kibush, that conquest? Yehoshua. Then we have the kibush of Oli Babel. Who's that associated with? Ezra. And they have discussions in the Sugyas and Gemara, Kiddusha Rishona, Kiddusha Lashaita, Lo Kiddusha Lassid Lavo, Kiddusha Lassid Lavo, that's the original Kiddusha. Then we have Kibush Sheni of Oli Bavel. Basically, what Rabbeinu Tam is going to say, we're not going to look at all the details now, just to give you bird's eye view. Rabbeinu Tam is going to say that a city like Ashkelon was part of Eretz Yisrael in terms of Kibush of Oli Mitzrayim. That's what Pesukim Yehoshua talk about, the kibush of Oli Mitzrayim, and mentions Ashkelon. But since that kibush did not last, they were exiled, now we have to look to the next time, which is kibush of Oli Bavel, and that Rabbeinu Tam says Ashkelon did not have the kibush of Oli Bavel. based on that, Rabbeinu Tam makes a cheshbon that if it's going to have, it's going to fall short in terms of our standards of our Mishnah. It's going to be therefore lo shchichi, lo gemiri, because it didn't make the cut of the kibush oli bavel. Therefore, you're required to say the funny nechta. Whether it technically has some status of kedusha or gabi, some things is a separate inyan. Kibush oli mitzrayim does do something, but bottom line is when we talk about our halacha, we're going to have the sense that they know lishma or that there's traffic. But if there isn't much going on there, because oli bavel did not settle those cities in that area, therefore it has a din of Dina Sayam, you have to say Bifanim. This is a bit. The Rebbe is going to go a step further, and he's going to say that anything that's far from the Yishuv, even if technically you could say, oh, Bava were Kodesh, but Umaisa, it doesn't, right now it's not near anything, it also would have the din of Bifanai, because again, it doesn't meet the standards of what you would need in order not to say Bifanai, because it's Lo Shchichi Lo Gemiri. Now, Rashi steps in over here and says that Yehuda went through three sides, right? Went through Rekem and Mizrach, Akko, Tzafon, Ashkelon, Daram, but not the west because Yavi Yamagad. Where's Rashi looking to? He's looking to the Pasuk in Parshas Maaseh. What would I want to look to understand his Mishnah? Where did they settle? Because then I can understand. Are they Shechichi, are they Gemir? Where did they settle? Kibush Ole Bavel, right? So did they go as far as the Yam? Maybe they didn't. So why does Rashi say the Yam HaGadol is a Gvul? The Gvul should be as far as where they went, in the Kibush Ole Bavel. Rashi says, oh, there's no need to say anything in the West because Yam HaGadol is a Gvul. Yeah, who told Rashi that they would hope that they have, that they settle all the way till there? So if it's a function of the second kibbutz of the Ribbono Tam, then for sure I have a problem in Rashi. So why is Rashi focusing on the Pasuk in Maaseh? Should we have to look at what exactly happened as far as the kibbutz of Ole Bavel? Okay, so maybe you'll tell me, we'll tell him it's right. Oh, so there too we have to know. Do we know that they were kovish all the way till the Yam, all the way to the west, to that point? They ended up getting all that far? Maybe be Mei Shlomo, maybe by that point, maybe yes, could be. It's all Sasam and Rashi. It's not Pashut. How to read Rashi? Why is Rabbi Yehuda coming in with all these numbers, these Gvulim, and Rashi looking to the Pasuk? And how does that jive with earlier in the Mishnah, how does it fit with what we're saying, Tosis? It's even more difficult because there's a Tosis to read later on that also quotes this Rashi, but in the same breath, Kemat, you can Tosfos read it and print it on Dav Zayin on the base. I'm just making the kash even stronger. I know we didn't read the Tosfos yet, but you'll see what I'm referring to. It's right on the side, on the right side of the margin. So he quotes Rabbi Yehuda in the Mishnah, Baal Isamein Gvo Eretz Yisrael, Umisham Rachutz Hu Chutz Laretz, Rekem Omedes Mizrach Vehi Chutz Laretz, Ashkelon Bedromo Behichutz Laretz, Va'akob Etzvona Behichutz Laretz, L'mayrev L'hutz V'cholitin Gvul, Shayam Nigvul Marava. Right? Kidechsev Gvul Yam V'yichem Hayam Agadu Gvul. Kidepirish Hamora. Who's Hamora in the Tosfos Reads parlance? Who's the Mora? You should know. You can guess. Rashi. Whenever the Tosfos Reads refers to the Mora, it's Rashi. So he basically quotes our Rashi. Yeah. But then he goes on and discusses what we have in the Tosfos that we haven't read yet. The Ikasha, Heichem Min Ashkelon Eretz Yisrael, Vakol Chutz Laretz, Vaksiv, B'Sefer Shoftim, all those kashas that have come up in Tosfos. And he brings one of the things that Tosfos is going to say, Yesh Lomar, Harbe Krochim Kof Shemol Mitzrayim, V'lo Kof Shemol Yibavim. Kedamin Perkham, he quotes part of the Tosfos. So Mamash don't know how to make part one of the Tosfos Rid and part two of Tosfos Rid square with each other. Mitzvah, maybe you can ask a chavrut from anyone else's shir or whatever. Night Seder, be mefalpel there. I don't know. I probably don't have an answer to this. The Rashi, and then Bifrat with the Tosfos Rid. You'll see a pshat in Rashi, you're not going to be fully answered if you don't address the Tosfos Rid, because he mamish quotes a chilk of Tosfos, and he also quotes Rashi as well. So Rashi's quoting the Sukkim Maaseh as if this is the standard. Now we'll see, we're going to get to a Rambam. There could be other Mahalchim and Rabbi Yehuda. And maybe Rabbi Yehuda is not thinking in the same wavelength as earlier in the Mishnah. It's not going to fit with Tosfos. But Tosfos Smith for sure is going to be a Tzarchian because he quotes Rashi and he also quotes the Inyan of Kibush Ali Bavel. So how can you talk about the Yam being the border? Where does, who told you that the Kibush went as far as the Yam Agado in the west? Yeah. The problem is like this, because our Mishnah, the standards for when you're going to say Bifane or not, should depend on issues that relate to why there was a takan. Namely, are they knowledgeable of Lishma? Is there traffic? And these are the issues that are going to come up in Tosfos in discussing these various cities that are mentioned in the Mishnah. Don't we know that there was a kibush? Oh, but there wasn't another kibush, or it's far from the Yishuv, and so on and so forth. That's what's going to come in at Tosfos. Rashi is totally avoiding all of that. Rashi just talks about Rabbi Yehuda. Rabbi Yehuda is give you Gvulei Ha'aretz. Good. Rashi says, what about the West? Oh, you have the Yam there. Okay. But if you also need the fact that it was a kibush in order to establish that until that point, where there was a kibush, people know Lishma, there's traffic, it's settled, then you also have to know what the border is on the west, because maybe they only went as far as there and not all the way to the Yam. And Rashi says, oh, it's simple. We know the border because of the Yam. Yeah, but how does that help us? We shouldn't be just thinking about the Gvulim of Parshas Maaseh. We should be thinking about the Gvulim vis-a-vis the Inyanim of our Mishnah, the Gittin. Again, I'm opening up the issue. We're going to see, obviously, Tosfos here, Barichas, and maybe the Rambam. But Maaseh Rashi, to recognize that Rashi is not a simple Rashi. Just Rashi quotes the Pasuk in Maaseh. But then I added Tosfos a bit to it, because Tosfos gives us a piece of Tosfos right after quoting Rashi. So this is a Ha'ara. The last Rashi, or next to last Rashi, in Yeshel of Odorin. So this is now back to Eretz Yisrael. How maybe get the Eretz Yisrael. Shabbal Ma'arer Sheum Mizrit. So you don't have to say Bifanai, right? Because of the various reasons don't apply in Eretz Yisrael. So there's no need to say Bifanai. If there'll be Odorin, Rashi says, what are Odorin? Habal Ma'arer. The Baal is the Ma'arer Sheum Mizrit. Is that all he could say, Rabbo say? Sheum Mizrit?
I mean, give it.
Well, that's Mizuyah. Yeah. Yeah. What else could he say? What else might he say? Can be any other argument lodged against the get? The get is not kosher. Why? What? No. Well, I mean, he could say that, but that's not the issue here. He's kind of a host, not going to help you for that. Anyway, what? Lashma. Lashma is halacha. You need Lashma. Interesting is Lashon Rashi and Daf Tes. When the Gemara discusses Mamish right before the new Mishnah, so the Gemara has a small Gemara on this part of the Mishnah, the issue of Orin. The Gemara says, what is the case of Orin? Last three words before the new Mishnah, Ela Ira Debal, right? Those are three words in the Gemara halfway down the Amud Tesemet Aleph. What does Rashi say on that? Debal, what did Rashi say? Four words.
Poslo.
Habal Ira Alav, the Poslo. What did Rashi say here? Mizuyev. Poslo, whatever. The Rambam in Pirush HaMishnah also opens up all kinds of possibilities to what the Baal says. The Rambam says, let's see where it is in the back somewhere, right? Yeah. The Rambam says, Oberin Ratzalomar, an Ira Habal Vaomer, Anigo Girashtiya Vizaget Mizuyev, Vanigo Kisavtiv, I never wrote it, it's a forgery. Oh, she yipso also bitsad mitstadi apasulanus. Why is Rashi here pick only a tine of mizuyah? I bet you lo lishma. What about something else? So no, ta'ara. I think that there's a chsam sefer. Could be it's here, probably it's over here. That. Really, maybe the only reason the Baal could tina anything, like, let's say, Shelo Lishma, is only because of Migu, that he could have said Mizuyev. We're not Choshesh at Shelo Lishma. Mizuyev is a good tina. Shelo Lishma, because I'll ask you another question. Let's say the Baal says it's Shelo Lishma. Okay? So what does the Mishnah say you do? You have Kiyum. It's kind of a Choshesh. As Rashi will tell us what you do. You do Kiyum Shtaris. How does that help us? So now you know the Eidim are legitimate Eidim and they really signed, but maybe it's Shelo Lishma. So how does it help? If the the ira baal is something other than mezuyah, then how can yiskayim b'chosav solve the problem? Says some sefer, I believe. Now, but the answer is the only reason he could be neman with any other taina is because of migul, that he could have said mezuyah. Once you take care of mezuyah, that's not mezuyah, then he was his koach taina of anything. It's similar to the following. Let's say I have a shtar chov, and the lova says that I paid. But the malva has the shtar, so you don't really assume that it was paid, otherwise why would the malva still have the shtar? But the answer is that the lova could have said, what could he have said? Mezuyah. So the din is, if you mekayim the shtar, then the lova loses. But if the shtar is still not mekayim, then you could still say it, parua, maybe it's paid, even though the malva has the shtar. So once you take away the taina that he could have said, which is giving the koach to the taina of parua, then he no longer can say parua. So similar over here, if you get rid of the possibility of saying mezuyah, then he loses his taina to say lishma, shalom lishma. Okay. Either way, though, it's striking. Rashi here says mezuyah, but maybe that's because the ikar reason why he could be neman on any taina is because mezuyah. Rashi Daftes tells you a poslo. I think Adaros, I think it's a chsam sefer, but we'll have to know if there's more we can say on this. Then the last Rashi is kaim b'chosmav. That's what the Mishnah says you do if the Baal is ma'ara. What exactly is kiyum chosmav? Im ya'idu ha'edim al chasimas yedeyem. Oh, edem achem ya'kiru chasimasam kasha. So Rashi gives us two ways that you can do kiyum. What are the two ways? Either what?
In themselves.
The same edem that signed tell us we recognize our signatures. Or, Rashi says, other Aden say we recognize that these are the signatures of these two Aden. There are other methods, Omaisa. There are other methods. The Rambam has a whole list. The Tosefta has a third method. The Tosefta on over here in Gittin, in Perig Aleph, in Halacha Vav, Ketzad Amru Yiskayim B'chosmav, there's a third method that's quoted in the Tosefta. Edim she'amru k'sav yadeinu hu zeh, avu einanu makirim es lo es ha'ish v'lo es ha'isha. We don't really know this man's signature, but they could have forgotten, but they know it's their signature. That's one. Ein k'sav yadeinu zeh, avu achem mi'idim she'em shu'zeh. We don't know if we recognize the signature, but other people recognize their signature. Oh, and this is famous in Second Perek in Ksuvos, she'haya k'sav yadan yotzi mimokam acher. What does that mean? Yes, comparing. In other words, you have another document and it has the same signatures, and so now you can just recognize it just because you see it's on other documents. Dimwe chasimos. So that third method Rashi omits for some reason, but that's in the Tosefta. Ksav yodan yotzi mokam acher. So Rashi gives you two examples of kiyum shtaros, in this case, forget. One is the Edom themselves recognize, the other is other Edom recognize their signatures. But the Ksav Yad Yotzimokamacher, that's not mentioned in Rashi. Mila, there's another thing to mention in this last line of the Mishnah. This is the long Tosis on the bottom. Rashi now is getting to. This is if the Baal is Ma'ara. What if there are no people challenging the Baal is not Ma'ara? Mistama Kasha. Mistama Kasha. In other words, there she can remarry. You can use the get. What about the problems that we're discussing? The answer is, so in Eretz Yisrael, we don't have a chashash shalom lishma. The edim, it's in the l'kaima, when the edim are available in Eretz Yisrael, kedamin b'gemar batidin k'vuin. So therefore, it's only if there'll be an era about. Okay, so this is the Mishnah. As I promised, I want to go back to the Nakuda that we saw in the Rashi before. I know it's hot here, though, right? Very much. What can we do? What's the Eitza? Is there any... open the door a little bit, I don't know. You know, yeah, that's true too, but for now. I don't know if it'll help or not. I don't know. We can try. Okay. Let's see if it helps or not. Yes, the question.
Why the most Orin is just the Baal?
Yeah, so that's the Gemara discussion. Yeah, it's Orin. It's like you have a Koach of Shtai, maybe. You're right. It's a good deal. It's a good question. The Gemara actually discusses why maybe thinks it should be Yeritrei. But then Mara says, then, you know. The Gemara says it's there the Baal. Yeah, it's a good deal. Okay. Orin, right? Yeah. I don't have a get. It means he has a koach like Shnai, maybe. You have to know what the get. The get of the Baal's ear after what is the day stuff. That's a whole Indian by itself. It's Gemara. What is the Karach of the Batei Ma'ara? Maybe that will help for your question. Yeah.
Also, the Gemara on talks about how high Kula Hu Chamer.
No, it's good. Ari,
Tigish Tender.
Go ahead. Yeah.
When the Gemara talks about how Mishmigun Akilu Rabbanon, and the Gemara says, like, how is that a kula? It's a chumrah. And then the Gemara, first of all, I wanted to say that the Gemara also uses the lashon of Asi Baal Ma'ar, who
pasele,
not just like the Rambam, so meaning it's not just
Ma'ar. No, pasele means to make the get disqualified. That's what it means. The Rambam is using the lashon
to actually
that he could pass use all kinds of the kindness. You can sit there if you want. Okay. You're both saying. Let's talk a little bit for a few minutes just on this inyan of Shriach Ulach and Shriach Kabbalah. Okay? Fine. Is it helpful? No, is it? Okay. You get schar for everybody.
And I get the
Okay. You're both saying. Rashi said the following. Shriach ze abalas or Shriach Ulach. Clearly, Rashi's intent is to tell us that if you have a Shriach Kabbalah that already received the get, which means he's Megureshes, now he's coming to show that he has a get, which shows he already had the Gerishin, so it's a Raya that on the Gerishin. There's no requirement on such a Shriach Kabbalah to save the fund. And the question is why not? So the Ran in the back on the Rif is Mesiachis to this question, and he says the following. You take a look, this Ran I gave you. It's a little later on, right? It's not here on the Mishnah. It's a bit later. Then they have a different Tzuras Adaf in the Ozlahada, but it's what would have been the Tzuras Adaf Beis Amidah for Daf Yerif. The Dibra Maskel of the Ran is, I know it's hard for some people to find, the Kasa Rashi the Mishnah Seinu. Okay, see that Ran? The Kasa Rashi the Mishnah Seinu. The Shriach Zeh Ashani the Mishnah. Habala So Shriach Alach. What's Rashi's intent? The Nir Elisha Kasa Kain. Why does Rashi hold this way? Why wouldn't it be otherwise by Shriach HaKabbalah? Mishum. I'm just going to give a chance to everyone to find it. Everyone know where I'm reading from? If it's Oz Vahadr, it's Dav Dalet, okay? The very end of the page. If it's the Oz Vahadr Gemara, very bottom of the page. On to Dav Hei. Okay, if you have a regular Gemara, then that's fine too. The Kasav, Nir Elisha Kasa Kain Mishum. The Ihav is Shriach. How many people saw this around already? Good. The Ihabi, so before we ask inside, so tell me, what does the Ran say? No, we're both saying. What does the Ran say? Yeah? Someone who's not a Shia system. Yeah?
He's excluding Shia, he's being the Mayan Shia like Kabbalah.
Why?
Because in that case, you wouldn't have to say the
final. It's not Shash.
That ain't it, but the Ran gives more reason for that. Why? Yeah. Okay, so what?
It's not going to come.
Until we got to that point, if I were to ask you, we're both saying, why wouldn't a Shriach HaKabbalah have to say the Fana? Before looking at what the Ran says, what would you say?
Because he wasn't there.
Go ahead.
It's not even permanent.
Who says it wasn't? Maybe it was. No, maybe we should require such a thing. In order for this Shtar get to be a Shtar, to be valid Ryan Gerishin, maybe we would require that any Shriach, be it Shriach of the Ish, Shriach of the Isha, can testify that it's not that it was a shema, whatever it was not mezuyif, whatever funny that means. But could you come up with a reason on your own? Yeah.
Why would he be there for the writing of the shema?
Why? If he acquired it, he would have to be there.
Yeah, but he could have acquired it from another shliach who sent it.
Instead, if the din would be, you're going in circles. If we would acquire it, then that's what we require. But the question is, why don't we require it? The Ran is going to give a reason, but I'm asking you, before you read the Ran's reason, what would you think? What could you say?
If the Shliach Kabbalah is the one who's representing the woman, so then the woman has no chiyuv to write it, l'shma, and it comes from the husband's side.
No, for a Shliach Kabbalah to be able to have a get that could be a raya on Gerishin, he would have to testify that he saw the Chesimus Haget and the Chesimus Haget.
The whole point of the saying is that if the Baal is Ma'ar, so if the Baal is giving it to the Shriach HaKabbalah.
What you're saying, who says what you just said? Who says what even Daniel just said? The Ran. Oh, good, oh, good. So let's see. Let's see inside the Ran. Good. The Ran. Zach the Ran. V'nirli shekasav kei mishul. D'i ha v'shilcha kabbalah. Kevan shehaisha nisgasha v'kabbalaso. She became a gureshes with his kabbalah saget. Einot sarachem v'nachta v'nachta. That's what Rashi said. That's the what. Now, he brings a gemara. And he explains the gemara this way. But we have to look at the gemara carefully. The gemara daf chavdal. The gemara had a kasha. The mishnah that states over there that it's possible for the woman herself to be maybe as gita. And the shayla is, and say before, and the question would be, what would be the example? Because how could it be that a woman should be maybe gita and say before? In fact, the gemara has to give a whole kim to how that would be. That she ki'ilu ashriach olacha, so to speak. But the Gemara right away jumps on this Mishnah. The Lashna Mishnah is, on the Chav Gimam days, ha'isha atzma mevi'a zgita, u'bilvat shehi tzvich olam fanech v'nechta. In other words, you can have a case of the woman herself who's the misgareshes bringing the get, and having to say b'fana. That's what it says in the Mishnah. So the Gemara doesn't understand pshat in the Mishnah. The Gemara asks the simple words of the Gemara on the Chav Damad Aleph. What kind of halacha is this? The woman has to say b'fanai. Isha michimata gita liyada igashala. As soon as she got the get, she's megoreshes. So Gemara has a whole answer, a whole explanation of what the case of the Mishnah is, that he told her that you'll be a shlicha halacha until you get to a certain place, and then you'll give it over. So ki'ilu, she's a shlicha halacha on her own gerishin, and that's what the Mishnah is referring to. But meanwhile, the Gemara right away jumped on the Mishnah at first glance, assuming that she became megoreshes. And asked, what do you mean, b'fanai? She's wearing the gureshes. So the Rambam says, that's what the Gemara means. And now the Rambam is going to explain why that's so. So Rashi already had this in mind. It has to be shliach halacha, not shliach kabbalah. Says the Rambam, that's the Gemara later. V'hainu the pachinan, the Gemara that asked the kasha, on the Mishnah that says, v'tnana isha atma mevi'a gita, uvat shete tzvich halom fanav nechdam. In fact, the Gemara, isha mechimata gita liyad, yashala. The Alma, what do we see from the Gemara's premise of the Kasha? The Alma, the Koshin is Gasha Kfar. Once the Gerishin already happened, and a Tzvicha Kimaget. You don't need this Kiyom of Befana. He calls it Kimaget. Interesting. Why not? So the Ram supplies what he feels is the reason. Why doesn't a Shlicha Kabbalah require a Befanai? Why does Rashi, what's Rashi's Kavana here by saying Shlicha Kabbalah doesn't need it? What does the Gemara mean? The time of the Milsa. The cave on the Medina Lotzarach. Really, fundamentally, you wouldn't need the fund. Ela mipnech shash shema yavo baviyar. He's going according to which reason of the two reasons, apparently. Which reason? Rav. Be'etzem yinat choshish. It's just that the Baal might make trouble later on with the error, and she'll be in limbo because now the Baal is challenging again. We don't have Eidim mitzvim l'kaimel. So, therefore, it's only mipnech shash shema yavo baviyar. Therefore, where are we worried that the Baal is going to be ma'ar? In lochosh lir uro, ella kishu nos no lishliach cholach. When are we more worried that the Baal might be ma'ar if he's giving it to shliach cholach, in which case the gerishin is not fed a kamplay yet? Now, if isha b'shasha get yotim tachas yado eno gomer megarish. He gave it to the shliach, but it's not definitively a gerishin yet because he knows that there's going to be time till the shliach will ultimately implement the shlichus and carry over the get. He's not Gomer Magash. He hasn't yet definitively set his mind that it's Gerish. He's still like wishy-washy. He gave it to the Shliach, right? Therefore, Eina Gomer Magash, he's not yet fully yet at peace with his decision because he knows he can buy time. He might have second thoughts and then be Ma'ara on the get. Avo. Koshu knows no liyada. But if he gave the get to the hands of the woman, oh, liyad Shliach Kabbalah, which is equivalent of that. Harei b'shasha get yotzim tachas yado, when as soon as the get leaves the hands of the Baal, so then gomer megarish. He's already knows in his mind, okay, done. The deal is done. Gerishin is over. Therefore, what are we not afraid of? That he's going to be megar, because he already gave to the gerishin. The kevan she'en lachosh ha'meyavo v'yar. So therefore, harei isha muteres k'nasei, apishon is kaim aget, the koecha delako mechad shkir ha'baal, en isha tzvichu kim aget. L'maisef, he'll have to be megar, then what we have to do in this case? By Shliach HaKabbalah, what will be if he comes in his ma'ar? What do we have to do? What do we need? Just like in Eretz Yisrael. But to require the funai, we don't. Why not? Because there's no chshash of Yir HaBa. So says the Ram, that's the reason why Shliach HaKabbalah does not need to say the funai. So, and that's what Rashi has in mind as well. Go ahead.
In that case, the guy himself is giving it to the woman's Shliach?
No, Shliach HaKavod means that he received the get from the Baal, or the Baal Shliach. In other words, he's now the equivalent of the Yad HaIsha. She appointed him as a Shliach HaKavod. Therefore, when it goes to him, it's as if it went to her, and the Gerushin that took effect. That's called Shliach HaKavod. Shliach HaLacha means he's going to be bringing the get to the woman or to the shliach of the woman. Shliach Kabbalah is, as soon as it goes to his hand, it's a redmi gresh. This sugya's later on, Pirakim later on, how she's man of the shliach and so on. Question is as follows, and for this we have to seal it more, the sugya daf hey, but I want to just take the svara of the question, push it like this, and then we'll see more fleshing this out. Could anyone have thought of a more simple explanation than what the Ran gives as to why it's obvious that the defanei nechvei nechtam only makes sense for the shliach l'holacha who's now doing the gerushin when he's giving over the get, and that's given. That's why he says defanei. But the whole idea of defanei makes no sense in the context of shliach kabbalah, where the gerushin took effect already.
So what does
what's the Ran's reason? Because if it took effect already, then there's no chash that the baal bima'ar. Is that all it is, or can you say something more simple? So, l'mashal, even if you look at the words of the Gemara, the Ran grabbed onto, the Gemara says, woman used to say b'fanai, mechimati gita liyadei garshala, right? It's already done. So had the Ran learned the Pshat in the Gemara? Because it's already done, therefore what? There's no need to b'fanai, why not? Because he's not going to be ma'ar. Look at the Rashash on that Gemara. What is it? Did anyone see the Rashash? Say louder.
They only wrote the Yeah, we saw the Rashash, but
say, it only works. Yeah. What is Bifanai? What is the Takana Bifanai? The Takana Bifanai was, this is part of the Seder Gerushin. When you make Gerushin, you do it with a Bifanai. And you see, this is the Sugya Daf Hei of Mishanim Medesh Tavu Chachamah. We'll talk about this tomorrow in Shir. This is Rav Meir HaChachamim, that if you didn't say Bifanai, then there's a problem. You didn't do the Gerushin properly. The Pasha way to think about this Mishnah is that the funai is an aspect of the Seder Maisa Garrison. We'll see the Sugya Daf Hei to see what that's about. It's an aspect of the Seder Maisa. How do you do Garrison when you have a Shliach giving it? He has to say the funai. That's how the Garrison can now occur. Otherwise, there's a flaw in the Maisa Garrison. But that's only Shaykh by Shliach Lalacha. Shliach and Kabbalah, the issue relates to something totally different. The Garrison about gives again to the Isha. It's not the funai. Baal gives a get to the Shliach HaKabbalah, no, but funai, that's Gerushin, done. The issue now is relevant to something else. Do you have a raya on the Gerushin by virtue of the Shliach holding the get? So who talks about Bifanai? Bifanai is a takana in the Asiyas HaGerushin. Here we're not talking about the Asiyas HaGerushin, we're talking about the raya subsequent to the Asiyas HaGerushin. Who says that enters into the equation, b'chal, to even talk about the issue? Why would anyone think in to begin with that there should be a din of Bifanai on the Shliach HaKabbalah? Is that what the Ran said, Rabbo said? No, what did the Ran say? That he's not going to be Ma'ar. He already did the Gershon. Why did he go like that and say such a smart? Just say something more basic. And we have to show why this is L'chorah, the Sugya Daf Hei. And this is the Rashash's word, Pshat in the Gemara, in fact, in the words of the Gemara. But the Pashat Pshat is, the Funai is part of the Seder Maisa Gershon. So Mimeil, of course you're not going to talk about Shliach HaKabbalah. So the Rashi is even more simple than the Ran makes it. But in fact, the Ran makes a whole vort because the Baal's not going to be married anymore because he's a Gomer, he's already over. Why say like that? Why can't we talk about the issue in a more straightforward way? That's the question that we should be mefalpo a bit for. Talk about learning and think about it, and we'll see if we can start a process from there.